The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior, according to John. Jesus prayed, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Holy God, send your spirit among us. Fill our hearts, our minds, our imaginations with the fire of your love. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. When I read gospel readings like this one in particular, this whole they are not of the world, we are not of the world, I am not of the world, it's that Johannian kind of wrap us up in a tight knot and then unspin it and you can't follow it kind of reading. but this whole idea of not of this world, I kind of like that stuff. Because if you read the newspaper, the internet, watch the news, the world seems like a pretty scary place with lots of really bad things that are happening all the time to good people. You know the saying, why do bad things happen to good people? I still want to know why good things happen to bad people. But, it's so easy to see that, to read that, to experience that thing that is happening out there that is just so scary and dark, that we like to disassociate ourselves from it. You know, that's those people. That's that place. That's, it's something else. It's not what we're about. You know, to do the good old Pilate thing of just washing our hands of the whole nasty situation and just saying it's somebody else's problem because Jesus said it. We're not of this world. The problem with that is it's wrong. What is the most famous Bible passage in the entire scripture? Very good, John 3:16. Who knows, besides Deb, what John 3:16 is? And besides David. Let me hear it. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. That's 3:16 and 17. God, 3:16. God so loved the world. Not the part of the world that agrees with God. Not the part of the world that is doing God's mission as best as it can. Not the nice, warm, and fuzzy people of the world. God so loved the world. Nice to see you guys. Actually, they've been here forever. There was a lock-in last night with the youth group, and so they've been here way longer than I have. If it's okay to disassociate ourselves with the world, whatever that is, then the incarnation was a huge waste of time. Jesus became one of us here and now, in this place, with all this nonsense. You know, one of my least favorite conversations with people is, oh, kids these days, or everything's going to hell in a handbasket, or, oh, it's just so much worse than when I was a kid. No, it's just we get it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We just know about it. I hate to tell you, the world is not a worse place than it was when a lot of you were children. Remember the Cold War? Remember blackout curtains? Going back farther than any of us, remember slavery, yada, 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 it goes on and on. The world has always been a place where the evil one's hand is hard at work. But it is not our calling as Christians to disassociate ourselves from that world, but to live fully into it, to be a part of God's mission of reconciling love, to bring into those dark places the light of Christ. That's the point of the incarnation. So that God can be physically and visually known in the world, and through the Spirit, we can be a part of that reconciling love. So to wash our hands of the whole situation is not only not helpful, it quite frankly is unchristian. Now, I will admit that it is really easy sometimes to just dwell in the negative. You know, it's brighter, it's flashier, it's what we see on the newspaper, in the newspaper, it's what we see on the TV. It grabs our attention. You know, there's a reason why they do the silly human interest story at the end of every news broadcast. It's kind of like so it doesn't leave us completely depressed. But have you ever noticed how much time they spend on it versus all the other stuff? I'd given up Facebook a while back. Never was much for it anyways. As you know, I'm a talker, not a writer. But for some reason, I've been sucked back in to that evil void and vortex that is Facebook. And this morning, I was kind of flipping through it for no apparent reason. Actually, I know exactly why, but I had gotten a message from somebody that I wanted to read, and it got me going through it. And this is me going through my phone. And so I was doing it, and there's a page or a group on Facebook called Things That They Didn't Teach Me in Seminary. And it's really funny. It's from clergy from all over the United States and Canada, predominantly Protestant, but a really wide spread of clergy are a part of this thing. And it's usually really fun and funny and sometimes very heartfelt. And today there was one that caught my eye. I don't read it very often. This one caught my eye for some reason. And it was a gentleman, congregational minister, I don't remember where, who had the opportunity to bless a union, a wedding, of a couple that were both developmentally handicapped. In most states, that's actually against the law. Did you know that? I don't know what the law in Connecticut is, but in most states it's against the law for two developmentally handicapped people, or even one, to get married, because I guess it's a contractual thing. I don't know. Just sounds wrong. And he was going on and on about the gathering of the congregation and the families and the support groups and the, just this massive showing for these two people's commitment and love for each other. And just how wonderful it was. And he's just going on and on and on and on, as only clergy can do. And it really, I got to tell you, it was lovely reading this thing. And then, you know, there's the responses. The very first response, be careful, there may be legal ramifications. I was like, really? You couldn't wait with at least give me a little, oh, that sounds awesome. Oh, be careful, there may be legal ramifications. I mean, or isn't that beautiful? You know, what, you know, it, the very first person, and I'm looking at this thing at like 6:45, 7 o'clock in the morning, it had been posted overnight, so somebody woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning to warn this person to be careful about his ministry and his ordination vows in marrying developmentally handicapped adults because there may be legal ramifications. It is very easy to grab on to the negative, because that's what we see. But that is not the world we live in. That is not the world. The world is a mixture of wonder and grace and love and joy and sorrow and horror and darkness. And we are called to be a part of it. Through the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the incarnation of the Emmanuel, of God being with us, we are called to be a part of it. Let me give you an example. As many of you know, and those of you who don't will know in about a second, I just got back from 12 days in Peru, of which 5 days of it was spent hiking or trekking in the steepest place I've ever been in my entire life. Oh my God. And it was wonderful. And it really was wonderful. And we can talk about it some other time if you're interested. But when I got there, I went alone. I had hooked up with a guide, and the guide group had put together a group of 10 folks, of which no more than 3 knew each other. There were groups of 2 and 3 and me. I was the only single person. The next oldest person in the group was 28 years old. For those of you who don't know, I am 51. And some days, every bit of it. They were all serious alpine athletes. With the exception of the 2 Australians, who the day after we got done climbed a volcano to 19,000 feet without oxygen in a blizzard. That was what I was reading. That's why I was on Facebook, was reading about their trip. In a day. So, this is the group I'm with. And we have an orientation the night before we leave. And we all happen to meet in the lounge of the hotel that I'm staying in, because it's owned by the guide company. All these young adults, they were kids, are staying in like backpacker hostels throughout the city. Okay? I am so done with backpacker hostels. And so we're all sitting around, and I'm looking around the room going, oh, really? And my first thought wasn't, I can't keep up, because I know me. If I push myself hard enough, I can probably keep up. I will also tell you, however, one of the Australians was a cardiac nurse, which was mildly reassuring. So I'm looking around this room, and I'm thinking to myself, they don't want to spend the next 5 days with me. I mean, there are 5 days I don't want to spend with me. And the best part of the trip, Machu Picchu was amazing, it's beautiful, it's awesome, yada, yada, yada. It was the time spent with these young people and the 5 days hiking this unbelievably difficult trail. That was the trip. This is the world we live in. When Luke, who happened to be the fastest of all the climbers, he was the Australian who did the volcano, hurt his knee, the whole group slowed down. When Bob Hooper is trying to haul his old rear end up a very steep incline for over 3.5 hours, I was never the last in line. The needs of each were met by the whole group. In fact, one Nikki, one of the young Austrian girls, and she was young, she was 24 years old. The food was very, very good, surprisingly, prepared in these little like Bunsen burner things in these dirt rooms. And they'd bring out the food, and there was always lots of things like avocado and all this stuff. I mean, it was just like an allergen for me waiting to happen. And I happened to be picking through stuff, and Nikki's like, oh, you don't like avocado? I said, no, I have a lot of food allergies. Well, she proceeded to spend the next 5 days investigating every single thing of food that came across our table to tell me what I should and should not eat based on my allergies. I found out later she's the oldest of 4 girls and bosses everybody around. Or mothers, everybody. The needs of each individual were met by the group. That's the world we live in. That's the incarnation of God amongst us. Not the horrors that fill 24-hour news cycles. Not the nonsense that's on the front page of The Current. You know, if you want a real newspaper, look at the front page of the West Hartford Times. Ryder Morton, right there, running the race. If every cover of every newspaper was that cute, we'd be doing much better. So we need to be careful. And this is both a prayer and a warning. My prayer is that we can open our minds, that we can open our hearts, that we can open our imaginations to the wonder and to the possible that is out there. To the movement of God amongst us. To be a part of that reconciling love. The warning is don't get sucked in to the nonsense. Don't see the darkness instead of the light. Don't allow those who control the news cycle, whether they be news editors or terrorists, they may be the same thing, to control the way we see the world. The world we live in is the world that God so loved. God so loved. Amen.